Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Friday, December 29th, and we're doing another one of those shows for after one of the worst losses of the season types today, and I don't like doing these, so we'll power through it after the Pistons lost one to the Orlando Magic on the road. This is your host, Matt Shook, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. Been covering sports my whole professional career for about 12, 13 years now. CMU guy, covering and been following the Detroit Pistons my whole life. You can follow the Locked On Pistons Twitter account at Locked On Pistons as well. Again, this is the Friday show, so we're going to have a couple of, at least one day off on next week, Monday, as it's the New Year holiday. We might be back on Tuesday, but certainly on Wednesday, and be back with the daily weekday podcasts after that. So I wanted to give you a little touch on the holiday schedule that's going to be rounding out here next week. So we're going to be talking about the recap of the loss to the Orlando Magic. We're going to look ahead to the weekend and the San Antonio Spurs. We're coming to downtown Detroit on Saturday night. Also, we're going to do some New Year's resolutions. We're hitting on all the radio bits that they do over the years. So New Year's resolutions for the Detroit Pistons. I'll throw some out there and then invite you to send along your own to me on email at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com, or also on Twitter as well. So there's a chance for you guys to kind of jump in and give your thoughts on that. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payout? Sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site that I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup, as well as in-game live betting on all this season's NFL and bowl games. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie. Tough one for the Pistons on Thursday night as they lost 102-89 to the Orlando Magic. The win broke a 9-game losing streak for Orlando, which had won 3 of its last 23 games, including a loss earlier this month at Little Caesars Arena against Detroit. Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier were back when they weren't back for that last game at Little Caesars Arena, but out this time was still Terrence Ross and now Nikola Vucevic, who had such a good game, really the only player other than Hezonja who had a really good game in that Orlando-Detroit matchup a couple weeks back. But I didn't watch this game live. I watched the replay on NBA League Pass, and I got to tell you, if you ever get a chance to watch the Pistons drop a game to one of the NBA's worst teams when you know the result and just are kind of watching it, it's kind of one of those homework assignments that took me back to junior high or high school when I was doing a lot of work that I didn't want to do watching that Pistons game. I don't recommend it. If you heard they lost, don't go back and watch the highlights. That's my advice to you. But going back, and I watched the Fox Sports Detroit coverage with Matt Shepard, and before the game, I think it was Johnny Cain did a pregame interview that they had taped with Langston Galloway. And Galloway was talking about how they didn't finish the job against Orlando a couple weeks back in that game, as Orlando had that 19-0 run late and made it a 4-point game in the final minute, playing poorly in the second half, the Pistons did. But he sounded very cocky and very like dismissive of Orlando, saying that, like, oh, we just kind of gave up and they didn't have a chance of beating us or anything like that. He said the quote, well, if we play 48 minutes, we'll be just fine. And he just kind of, and I felt the same way too going into this game with Orlando. As bad as they looked a couple weeks back and knowing that Vucevic wasn't going to be in there, it just seemed like the Pistons would kind of roll in this game. So maybe I would have said the same thing. If they would have played 40 minutes and they would have been just fine. But to watch that, knowing the result that was coming and watching the way that they got clown in that game, and then to see them start off so badly and kind of on their heels from the beginning of the game, I might be reading in too much into it, but maybe it did seem like the Pistons were looking ahead past the Orlando Magic, especially with San Antonio coming in town and maybe this game being the last of the easy stretch of games that the Pistons had, one that resulted in a 5-of-6 stretch where the Pistons got some wins there. But 21 points for Tobias Harris against his old team, 18 for Ish Smith, who started for the injured Reggie Jackson, who's going to be out at least a couple of months for the Pistons, and 17 points and 18 rebounds for Andre Drummond, who played pretty well throughout much of the game. However, the thing that jumps out in the box score, other than the fact of the names that aren't there when you talk about Reggie Jackson, John Luehr, and Avery Bradley, all injured for the Pistons right now, the Pistons scored just 12 points off the bench, led by 8 from Stanley Johnson, who's been a starter for most of the season. So that's been the strength of the Pistons, and for them to have 12 points, guys like Anthony Tolliver scoring 1, Galloway scoring 3, not much production from other guys such as Moreland or whoever else they threw out there throughout the game, and just not enough from those guys. But that's what happens when you have guys that are stepping up into larger roles when you have your starting backcourt out. And then, like I said, John Luehr, who's another guy who you relied on as possibly even a starter coming into the season, or certainly someone who's going to get at least 20, 25 minutes a game. So that's what happens when you have your depth tested like that. We know that the Pistons are a pretty deep team, but there's a lot of good NBA teams out there. It's hard to win on the road, especially against teams that need wins, desperate teams. And you think about it, the bad losses that the Pistons have this year, the Lakers, Dallas, and Orlando, games that they really weren't very close in, by the way. Those are three really bad teams, but those are three franchises playing at home that need wins. Probably look at the Pistons as a chance for them to get a nice home win, so they're going to bring it. And that's life in the NBA, so no need to complain and no need to think about this as a fluke, but the Pistons are the type of team, especially when banged up, that needs to bring maximum energy. And I thought Stan Van Gundy after the game talked about how the energy wasn't quite there for a lot of the guys and that a lot of guys had some bad games. I thought, I hate to keep harping on him, but Stanley Johnson, he shot very poorly, and I thought he missed some shots in some key situations, including up 5 late in the third. Ish found him for a very easy and wide-open three-pointer, and he missed it badly, and that was right before the Magic went on their run. Maybe, again, I've talked about Stanley Johnson maybe a little bit more than he deserves, but he's just going through a rough season right now and an important one for his career as a third-year player. So it's kind of maybe the biggest underlying storyline for this team right now, something to keep an eye on for sure. And while the Magic made that run and went up for a few points, and Pistons were up 5 with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter, they made that little run at the end of the third and made it even more of a run at the beginning of the fourth. It was noticeable that the lineup was Stanley, it was Tolliver, it was Langston, Galloway, it was Moreland, and it was Bullock. Bullock, who obviously now is a starter, but you know, still thought of as a bench player in a lot of ways. And when you have guys like Bradley and Jackson and Luehr out with injuries, that's what you're going to see your second unit's going to look like sometimes. And when you have Johnson and Tolliver and Galloway and Moreland and Bullock, there's just not enough offense right there. And that's what happens. A team like Orlando gets hot. A guy like Elfrid Payton has a couple of nice minutes. And next thing you know, the Pistons are down by 13 early on in the fourth quarter. Another thing to point out, Luke Kennard got the start with Bradley out again. He was brutally bad. He started slow, had maybe the worst start to the first quarter that we've seen from someone in a long time. His jumper looked flat even when he was wide open at times. He finished a minus 22 in 20 minutes, so that was by far the worst in the team on the box score. I know that individual games is tough to talk about the plus minus sometimes, but it can tell a story every once in a while, as I saw on the telecast that Andre Drummond, I think he was a plus 35 the other day for the best of his career. And obviously, if someone's going out there being a plus 35 or a minus 22, certainly they've played a bad game or a good game, regardless of what you think about that stat. But if you're looking at the trade deadline, if you're looking at Reggie Jackson being out possibly for a little bit longer than Pistons fans would like, then there's a lot of places on this roster to upgrade the talent level when the injuries are piling on. Certainly backup center is still a position where Eric Moreland has provided a little bit of energy and at times has had some moments offensively, but certainly not someone that you're going to be relying on for consistent offense or anything like that. The small forward position, although Reggie Bullock has played well as of late for the most part, it's something that you could address and could upgrade. And then your backcourt, if you feel like some of these injuries might linger, or if Jackson might have a setback, or when they do recheck him in 6 to 8 weeks that they find out that he's still a ways away from coming back, maybe you look at one of those positions too. But good news, bad news, if you want to talk about the trade machine, there's plenty of places to look for, plenty of places to try to patch up for the Pistons. But I guess, of course, that's bad news too when you talk about a team with a lot of deficiencies when they're banged up like they are right now. But we're going to be talking about the Saturday opponent at Little Caesars Arena, a game that my parents will be at, by the way. So if you see them there, say hello to Bill and Diane, the San Antonio Spurs coming to town. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Well, the San Antonio Spurs come to town for a 7 o'clock game on Saturday night at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit, and that is never a good thing for the home team, as the Spurs are one of the best professional sports organizations of my lifetime, and this year they're continuing to roll on despite some of the losses that they've had over the years. Tim Duncan's retirement stands out. Manu Ginobili, although still on the team, is certainly not the player that he was in the past. Tony Parker, not one of the top 10 point guards of the league anymore, like he has been throughout pretty much his entire career. But the Spurs, with some new faces and new stars, now 25-11, they beat the Knicks on Thursday night at home in the Lone Star State. Kawhi Leonard, the star and MVP candidate last year for the Spurs, who missed a lot of the beginning of the season this year, he sat out Thursday night's game. He's actually only played 5 games so far this year. He just recently returned to action, but he should be good to go on Saturday night. But you never really know who's going to play with Greg Popovich in charge of the season-long minutes rotation juggling. So it sounded like he was just resting on Thursday night and didn't have any injury ill effects from what put him out for the earlier part of the season. But like I said, he's played in 5 games and he's getting about 12 points and 4 rebounds per matchup, only playing 19 minutes a game so far is Kawhi, the all-star for the Spurs. But a guy who's going to be an all-star again this year is LaMarcus Aldridge. He's stepped up in Kawhi's absence. The big man from Texas is scoring 22 points and 8 rebounds so far this year. Like I said, he'll be in the all-star team on February in Los Angeles. Pau Gasol at 37 years old. How about this? He had a nice game on Thursday night again, and for four straight games, he scored at least 10 points, had 10 rebounds, and had 5 assists. And there's guys like Russell Westbrook are the only ones who's been able to do that for that long of a period so far this year. So at 37, not only is he doing all the things that he has done successfully throughout his career, albeit at not such a great level with the age kicking in, but he's adapted to the NBA game. He's become, believe it or not, if you haven't watched the Spurs much in these last couple of years, Pau Gasol is now one of the league's best three-point shooters, which is something that you would not have believed if you saw him throughout the middle of his career, where the mid-range game was as long as he'd step out in terms of being a scoring threat on the offensive end. Last year, he averaged he knocked down three-pointers at a clip of 53.8%, which I believe was tops in the NBA, although he may not have shot enough attempts to qualify for the quote-unquote three-point crown, or whatever they would say that the guy who shot the best three-point average was. I know Otto Porter was up there too, but he was another guy who didn't shoot a whole lot of threes too, but did shoot them at a very successful rate when he did put them up. Pau Gasol knocking him down at 42.6% this year. So if you're one of those people in a different industry that's thinking about whether you should adapt or what kind of things you should do to keep yourself relevant, Pau Gasol could be the inspiration for that. He's an older guy who's found a way to carve out his niche. And some guys get injured a little bit, turn into their late 30s, and they disappear from action. But Pau Gasol, not only a good teammate, a willing passer, and a guy who's experienced a lot of winning situations in his career, but he's now added a new skill over these last couple of years. And speaking of old guys adding skills, Tony Parker is starting to get in gear. He missed a little bit at the beginning of the season as well, and is playing really well as of late. If you're an NBA fan, I don't need to tell you anything to expect about the Spurs. If you've been following NBA basketball, you know exactly what to expect from Greg Popovich's teams. A lot of unselfishness, a lot of ball movement, stars on different nights that are going to knock down some shots. Danny Green was big on Thursday night, knocking down threes against the New York Knicks. The good news for the Pistons, if you want to think of an injury situation for an opponent as good news, which we love to do here in professional sports and in the NBA, Rudy Gay went down with a heel injury against the Knicks in the third quarter on Thursday night. So there's no word as I tape this late on Thursday night about what his status will be going forward. But if I know Popovich and I know injuries and I know veteran players, I would expect Rudy Gay to be watching the game from the sidelines, just like my folks will up in the stands. But the Pistons lost 96-93 on December 4th in San Antonio to the Spurs, based in part by a phantom foul call on Tobias Harris. I shouldn't call it a phantom foul. It wasn't like the Bill Laimbeer versus Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1988, but a dubious call is maybe what I should say, as both guys were being aggressive with Harris and LaMarcus Aldridge under the basket for what amounted to be what was going to be a loose ball after a miss by the Spurs there that could have ended up giving the Pistons a chance to possibly have the ball down one with a chance to win on the final possession. They gave Aldridge a couple free throws, and that was pretty much game over as the Pistons blew a chance to tie with a three-pointer in the final seconds. But if you're in the Metro Detroit area and you're thinking about heading down because you got some time off for the holidays or whatever it is, or the weekend is a good one to get away a little bit, maybe head down to Little Caesars Arena for the first time or get down there for the second or third time. Let me know what you think about that arena. I checked, and then, like I said, late on Thursday night on SeatGeek, tickets were as low as $42 right now. And if you're into more of a mybookie.ag kind of person, I couldn't find a line on the website on late Thursday night, but if by the time you hear this, you might want to check out mybookie.ag, and there may be a line posted. But after Saturday's game, we got New Year's coming up on Monday, and I got some New Year's resolutions and for the Pistons and some of the people around the team. So, and I also wanted to report about a little bit about what you're saying on social media here on Locked On Pistons. Going to the gym, become a better person daily, focus more on your career, maybe go find a new significant other or lose the old one. These are all New Year's resolutions that we've had over the years, and here's a few for the Pistons. By the way, I'm a fan of New Year's resolutions. I like the turning of the calendar to the new year as a way to refocus yourself. I know it's, some people make fun of it, that why don't you just have your New Year's resolution every month or just be more of a consistent person on a daily basis. But I'm pro New Year's resolutions. I believe in them, and I'm always pretty good on exercising at the beginning of the year. So first couple months when it's real cold, I do a pretty good job at that. Hopefully that continues for me and all you guys in 2018. But going to the gym, the person that I think the Pistons that should keep on that and keep working at his game and getting to the gym as much as he can in 2018 is Henry Ellenson. I'm telling Henry to be ready. Get those shots up. Make sure you're ready for when you get called upon. I kind of felt like in the preseason with the depth that Detroit had that all the players in the Pistons would play significant roles at some point. So I feel like Henry's chance will come in the near future. Keep in mind that all preseason we were talking about who's going to get those last of the front court minutes, if assuming that John Luehr was going to be in there and getting a lot of them as well. Was it going to be Anthony Tolliver or was it going to be Henry Ellenson? Well, obviously, Tolliver won that job and has played exceptionally well in 2017 for the Pistons. But as 2018 comes around, maybe Henry Ellenson could provide a little bit of a jolt if he's ready to go if and when he is called upon by Stan Van Gundy. And speaking of SVG, be a better person. I'm going to say that to him. Play nice with the players. And he's been just fine so far this year, win-loss wise and also demeanor-wise. But I want to make sure that he's got a little bit of a history. So we got to make sure that all the griping by the veteran coach is kept to a minimum. He always says exactly how he feels, and he should be patted on the back for that in most occasions. But maybe a little restraint when publicly criticizing the players, that could go a long way as this relationship with that he's had with some of the guys is into its multiple years now in many of the cases, especially for the top players. So let's make sure that we're managing that and being a better person. Maybe live by that golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done to you. Focus more on your career. It's one that we've all thought about from time to time. How about Stanley Johnson for that one? He's playing a little better and with a little bit more confidence off the bench right now, but that's not something that you want to hear from a guy you drafted that high in the draft in a year that you might have expected that he would have made a pretty good leap in his production and his output for the Detroit Pistons. The production is just not there right now for Stanley. He should be the best option for the Pistons at the three. For the fact that Reggie Bullock came in, replaced him in the starting lineup, and is outplaying him at every corner is something that should be snapping his mind into focus. He's still a young guy, but in year three, there's certainly a lot of uncertainty for the career of Stanley Johnson going forward. The new significant other, or maybe lose the old significant other, let's tell that to Stan Van Gundy and the Pistons front office as well. I think that they should use that beefed up pro scouting staff and address one of those needs at the trade deadline. Now, I'm not in the room, and we'll come up with some ideas of some of the trades, and I want to reach out to you guys on Twitter to point me in some of the directions that you might have as far as ideas on the trade market for the Pistons. But maybe it's point guard if you feel like Reggie Jackson's absence for these at least next 6 to 8 weeks is going to point them in too bad of a regular season hole, or maybe you think that his ankle won't allow him to be at top form if the Pistons are going to make a playoff push and even get into the playoffs and win some games as well. So maybe the point guard position might need some help in the short term with an expiring contract or a rental type situation. Maybe the front court depth to bolster, especially if Lure won't come back healthy as quickly as you want him to do, or you can maybe put a charge into that small forward spot with Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock being underwhelming as a unit on that small forward position right now. You might want to go with a bold move there if you're looking at the salary cap ramifications of Avery Bradley's impending free agency, the fact that Tobias Harris might be a trade candidate with his free agency coming up the following summer after that. So there's options out there for Stan Van Gundy. If he wants to make a big deal, his options are a lot better than they were last summer when he had guys that were at low values and high contracts and all that stuff. There's still a lot of high contracts on this team, but certainly guys with a lot more polish on their resumes than they had a few months back. So go get it done, Stan Van Gundy. Go make some kind of move to get the Pistons a little bit energized here as the NBA trade deadline comes up. But I want to pass along some of the reaction. I talked about the Joseph Hayes column about Jim Caldwell and racism on the show on Thursday, and I got some reaction from listener Eric. He talked about how the Lions franchise has higher standards now, as if the Super Bowl or bust mandate is a new one. But coaches always talk about winning the Super Bowl in their introductory press conferences, and that's kind of, you know, even when the old man Ford was still owning the team, or if it was Chuck Schmidt or it was Matt Millen, those guys always talked about winning the Super Bowl. It wasn't that's something new. And I know that with credit to Jim Caldwell and some credit to Bob Quinn, but a lot of the credit to Jim Caldwell, and of course Matthew Stafford and some of the players too, that they've lifted the organization to the point where, you know, they're a fringe playoff team over these past couple of years, either barely getting in or barely being left out. Maybe in 2014 they were more than a fringe playoff team and a Super Bowl contender, or I shouldn't say Super Bowl contender, with the Detroit Lions. I think that maybe some of you guys laughed at that mention right there, but the bar should always be high. It wasn't for the Lions, but you know, they've always said the same thing in those regard. And a guy like Caldwell, who has won more than 55% of the games with this team, the freaking Detroit Lions, I just think he deserves one more year, and that's all I'm saying tonight. I appreciated that Joseph kind of stuck his neck out there about the racism aspect of it, and I think it's just something that maybe people should think about a little bit more before they get online and spew some of the things that people have been spewing at Joseph. And kind of along those lines, I posted the article on my Facebook page, which you should follow. It's a journalist page. It's not like one of those regular personal pages where you can become friends with someone. You just follow them and like it. I got one that's just my name, Matt Shook, and I put the link to the podcast on there as I do every day. And I had a guy, Vince O'Connor, who I don't know who he is off the top of my head. Maybe he's just a listener to the show or has followed me from some of my other stops in journalism. I'm not quite sure, by the way, who Vince is, by the way. But he says, in reaction, he says on a comment, Joseph Hayes is your friend? ? I'm sorry you have a friend trying to divide Detroit for his racist agenda. You should tell him that sports isn't his strong suit. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say like that it was like vitriol or the most, you know, hate-filled comment or anything like that, and or not drawing to comparisons for any of the stuff that Joseph is probably getting in his inbox or his Twitter mentions or whatever else. But it's just kind of the tone of that where it's like, I'm sorry you have a friend trying to divide Detroit for his racist agenda. I mean, okay, thank you for saying you're sorry about that. I mean, obviously not the most noble of apologies thrown my way. So, you know, just in a very condescending thing that you should tell him that sports isn't his strong suit. I mean, for all you want to say about Joseph's opinion about race in that article, I mean, you know, sports isn't his strong suit. He's been a professional sports writer who's done this job well for over a decade now. So I think he does just fine with sports being his strong suit. And I know Joseph probably wrote that column knowing he's going to get a little bit of a reaction, or a lot of bit of reaction maybe, and he's gotten it. And I think that's in some ways what sports columnists are paid to do. I don't agree with a lot of it, that what he wrote in there. We talked about it the other day, but all in all, he did his job as someone who's trying to provoke a conversation. So that's that, and we're going to drop it for now from there. But check out mybookie.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA if you want to get started with them. Gamble, like my mom says, do gamble, but gamble responsibly. Gamble responsibly, she would say. So remember that as you're going with the mybookie.ag folks, as you should do. But we'll have no show on Monday with the New Year holiday. We'll see about Tuesday. I'm up in the air about it, especially if there's some Pistons news or something very compelling that we need to discuss. We'll certainly get one up for Tuesday, but we'll see how the schedule and the Pistons news kind of goes for that one. But we'll certainly be back next week for the daily weekday shows of Locked On Pistons. So follow us on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. And also the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed at a aptly titled handle, Locked On Pistons. I got to really pat the person on the back who came up with the Twitter handle for that one. Very well done. But we'll be, like I said, we'll be back around midweek next week for sure. And I want to thank you guys for listening, everyone. And we'll talk to you again very, very soon.